A book I'm reading right now talks about particle accelerators, which are those huge facilities where they orchestrate the collision of small pieces of matter. And the whole point is, in these collisions, the physicists can see deeper into the heart of things, and they're trying to isolate the one smallest bit of matter that exists in the universe. The book says this about the accelerator machines. These machines are designed to study the fundamental composition of matter as they search for the smallest bit of stuff that makes up all that exists in the world. And then the author goes on to say this about this work. This is an essential point. The higher the energy of the collision, the deeper we see into matter. I think, though that's physics, I think it's a good awareness to have before us and to sustain in our church lives together. Collisions, as unpleasant as they may seem, can allow us to have more depth. Now, I'm not advocating that we cultivate a culture of collisions in church life, but differing positions offer us a way to be faithful and create energy and movement and change and transformation. If we always get along and always agree on everything, we may not move forward into all that we're called to be individually or as a community. The Ephesians reading today speaks of the unity of the church, but of the work that is required to find that unity. In Ephesians, it says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It goes on to say, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Ephesians talks about the life to which we are all called and about being worthy of it. But that doesn't mean that we are to be called, that we think of ourselves as perfect in all of our judgments and decisions and theology. Christians don't come to church to celebrate our perfection, but to initiate our healing. Not long ago, I had a conversation with a woman who had just lost a niece at a very young age. I think the niece was 36, and she seemed very healthy, and all of a sudden she was diagnosed with cancer, and she passed away within a few months. And I was wearing my collar, and the woman looked at me and apologized. She said, I'm sorry. And I thought, what is she apologizing for? And she said, I just don't understand how God would allow that to happen. And what I took away from that is she thinks that at church we don't mention things like that. Maybe we don't mention that we don't understand why God lets things happen. I think she thinks it's maybe impolite in a church community to mention that we have difficult questions about theology and about God. But in fact, I think a church community is the perfect place to ask difficult questions. Why does God let certain things happen? How do we navigate these times when we can't explain what has happened? If we don't ask difficult questions, we're just going through the motions in church. And what we do here doesn't actually matter much in the real world. The beauty of church life, at least to my mind, is that it brings us together even though we have many disagreements in other dimensions of our lives. One of the commentaries on this Ephesians reading says that through the death and resurrection of Christ, warring cultures, passionately divided by religious heritage, traditions, moral code, and behaviors have collided and now converge into a newly created order, a community that knows no barriers of race, class, or gender. Think in the early times of the church, The Romans were persecuting the Christians, and ultimately Christianity became the religion of the Roman Empire. So these two cultures that had collided eventually converged into a newly created order. Many of us have seen the level of energy that can be found in a church community, especially when we disagree about something. Church can be so close to people's hearts that when they have a problem with it or with someone in the church, they become adamant about their positions. They can become confrontational or even angry. This seems like bad news in a community, but it's also good news. It means we care about whether our church community really tries to follow Jesus. That conflict and those collisions become bad news when we demonize people who don't agree with us in church. It's easy to look at someone in the pew, someone who is much more conservative or much more liberal, and think that they simply just don't get it. In truth, none of us gets it in the sense of knowing exactly what God would have us do. All of us are doing the best we can in this community and in our relationships in life. We want to do what God would have us do, but we struggle. Our collect for the day speaks of the church and says, "Protect and govern it always by your goodness." I notice that it doesn't say govern it by your dogma, govern it by your orthodoxy. It says govern it by your goodness. To me, that means that we measure everything we do in church or outside of church against one standard. We ask this question: does my choice in this matter or this issue maximize my ability to love other human beings in God's name? Asking that question continually means we live a life worthy of our calling to be Christ to the world. I guess the secondary question is, what do we want from our church community? Do you want a place where you can prove that you're always right? If that's your priority, I would suggest Jeopardy. Or take some of the quizzes on Facebook. They can make you feel much better about your vocabulary, your knowledge of grammar, or your knowledge of history or geography, or whatever the topic du jour is. Some would say if you want to always be right and certain, you should try science. But even in science, you don't make any forward progress unless you're wrong sometimes in your hypothesis. If you want a place where you can practice, literally practice, the love of God and practice it with other Christians, a church community is the place to do it. If you want a place that will push you spiritually, a church community with a diverse set of theologies is the place to be. We stay here together. We value the unity of the body of Christ, expressed and energized and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And make no mistake about it, unity does not mean uniformity. It means oneness of spirit in God. If we can keep that oneness of spirit, we can value our opportunities to disagree, to speak the truth in love, as Ephesians says. And to do that when it is genuine correction and conversation. Too often, I think that phrase, to speak the truth in love, is really nothing more than condescension dressed up in Sunday clothes. We will have collisions in our life of faith. We will have disagreements with other people. But they allow us to see deeper into matter, into what matters. Are you uncomfortable with someone else's position? then look closely at it and at your own. It may be a place to find energy to deepen your own spirituality and faith. We have to avoid rancor and resentment and live in peace. Respect the other. But we don't avoid collisions because those encounters create transforming energy. We will have our collisions. But living a life worthy of our calling means that we will return again and again to Jesus Christ as our model, as our Savior, knowing always that we cannot save ourselves by our own worthiness, but that in Christ, as the Eucharistic prayer says, in Christ we are worthy to stand before God. Returning to the ideas of physics, it is an essential point. The higher the energy of the collision, the deeper we see into matter. The life to which we are called is not a life without collisions. It is a life where those collisions keep us from being complacent. It is a life where the collisions carry us deeper into the will and the heart of God. Amen.